Fortunately, that problem doesn't exist for the Colorado Avalanche, who have now gotten points in 15 consecutive games after a four-goal second-period blitz that put them ahead for good up in Minnesota against the rival Wild. And joining us now, courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche, is our Avs insider, Adrian Dater. Follow him on Twitter at adater and at coloradohockeynow.com. AD, the Avs sort of had a sort of sleepwalk through that first period, and then let's just say they certainly came to life in the second. Well, what did you see the difference was? Is this team maybe just a little tired, or is it just one of those things that happens?
You know what? It's a good question. I thought maybe, if I had to guess, I'd say the Avalanche, you know, hadn't been on the road for quite a while and probably a little getting used to being back on a foreign rink for one period anyway. The Wild played a good first period, but to me, I was pretty confident for the Avs' chances after the first period because 1-0, I just didn't think was going to cut it against them. If you're going to beat the Avs, I think these days you're going to have to score two or three goals early and kind of shock them a little bit. When it was 1-0, plenty of time to regroup. The Avs came out and just absolutely dominated the Wild that second period. And it was a little close there at the end, but really I think the Avs just kind of let up a little bit at the end, made it a little closer game. Maybe they had a bet on the game. Not to take the spread or something. But I'm kidding, of course. I think that the Avs just do what, you know, have so much talent now that's what they do to so many teams. They just can knock you out with one big flurry of stuff. They score goals in bunches typically. When they get one, they typically get excited and get another, and that's, they got four tonight right in a row. In the second period, I thought, basically the game was over after the second period.
Yeah, it really was. And that's a good point about being on the road, because it's easy to forget that 15 of the previous 17 games for the Avs have been at home. So, I mean, obviously that's highly irregular. It's probably never happened in their history. And you end up at this sort of bizarre situation. But this team has now gotten points in 15 straight games, as I pointed out before. This team is really rolling. There's not a lot that you don't like from it. Is the concern right now for the Avs only really health and keeping Philip Grubauer rested enough to stay effective?
I mean, I think kind of, yeah. I mean, I think, that's still what we're sort of, the little fear in everybody's head is that, Grubauer, stay healthy. There's 1 week to go to the NHL trade deadline. I do think the Avs are still going to take a hard look at the market for backup goalies still, and I think there's a chance that we're going to see something. It feels like the Avs, from what I hear, may want to add one more D-man at the deadline, too. I think there's a little bit of, not nervousness with Bo Byram, but maybe a little bit of apprehension playing him a regular role in the playoffs when he's been hurt lately. Maybe his game might not suit the rugged playoffs as much as they, might want this year. I think Bo Byram's going to be a star player for the team in the future and play regular shift no matter what. But, that's what I'm hearing. Maybe another rugged D-man and another goalie. Although, I'll tell you what, maybe if Kyle Burrows goes around knocking people's heads off like he did tonight of that fight with Nick Bjugstad, maybe they've already got their tough guy on defense.
Yeah, Burrows makes his debut tonight, and obviously, not doing a lot on the score sheet, but definitely does sort of, as they would say, announce his presence with authority by taking on Bjugstad and actually just dropping him. You saw performances from guys like Burrows, Liam O'Brien. This team has a lot of depth. When you look at the way that some of these guys on those bottom lines, obviously Burrows on the defense, but you look at O'Brien, you look at Logan O'Connor, you look at guys like Matt Calvert, where do the Avs want to go when it comes to sort of tightening these lines up when they're all healthy?
I think the only question now is who's going to be that fourth line. I mean, is it going to be Liam O'Brien who steps in and maybe takes Logan O'Connor's job? Or is, if Matt Calvert can come back, would he just automatically get his job back? I think there's going to be a battle now between O'Connor and O'Brien for that one of those fourth line jobs. Seemed like it was a pretty good chance that it was going to go to O'Connor, but now he's hurt. And now in steps in Liam O'Brien, who I've been very impressed with. Now, you got to be careful not to get too carried away with a guy like O'Brien after two or three games. You know, he's been a, you know, his career, he's been a minor leaguer for a long time. There's probably a reason for that, even though he's been very good. So, yeah, I think that's one of the other only other unanswered questions for the Avs going into the playoffs, which is still 6-7 weeks away. Who's going to be that tough guy on the fourth line? Long way to go, but, you know, for right now, I'm happy with the way O'Brien looks and, exactly the kind of guy I thought they needed. Just a banger. Doesn't take any grief out there. Goes and hits the other guy instead of the Avs always being the retaliator. He's added more of the initiator to this club. I think it's been overdue.
We're talking with our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, A. Dater on Twitter and at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. When it comes to that physicality, obviously we saw it from Burrows. We saw it a little earlier in the game from Mikko Rantanen, who actually got a penalty at the end of the second, moments after Dumba dropped Landeskog right at the corner of the goal mouth, and then Rantanen got a little revenge popping him against the boards. We saw Nathan MacKinnon, let's just say, returning a helmet underhanded and getting himself in trouble that way. Does this team look like they're a little tired of getting sand kicked in their face?
It does seem like it, doesn't it? You know, I mean, that's been one of the knocks against this team is, are they not only tough enough, but, you know, are they going to, you know, hit somebody first for a change instead of always getting the guy, being the guy who has to hit back. You know, the league has changed. This is a totally different game. You don't need a bunch of, you know, goons out there to quote unquote keep the peace as much. But, the Avalanche do, I believe, and have said this for a couple of years now, I think that they needed more toughness. And don't forget, Sean, the playoffs are going to be a different story. You know, everybody talking about how great they are now, but, you know, playoffs are going to be tougher, more stuff is going to go on out there, more dirty hits, you know, so you got to have that dimension to your team, too, a little bit, I think. I'm not saying they need to be a bunch of goons, like I said, but to me, a guy like O'Brien who can, you know, go out and hit other guys and get them off their game mentally a little bit. Stop being the guy who always gets the sand kicked in your face. Go kick some sand in the other guy's face. And, if the Avs can add that sort of a piece of, don't mess with us kind of demeanor, you know, then, the Stanley Cup's going to be that much easier to attain, in my opinion, anyway.
Adrian, one of the things that you've talked about this year, last year, is the idea that the adversity early really does help a team late. And we just talked about the long homestand that they've had, the unusual one. Well, they're going to finish with an unusual schedule as well. In the end, you're talking about, including tonight's game, 14 of their final 19 games are going to be on the road. The Avs only have 5 home games left, and the season ends on May 8th. So we're talking about a team having to go basically on the road more or less the rest of the way. Do you like that? Do you think that gets them more playoff ready?
Yeah, good question. I don't always like it when you have to play your last few games on the road. I feel like it's always a little bit better to be at home those last couple of games to be a little more rested. But again, I don't think the travel is as strenuous as it's ever, you know, any other years.
Right.
They get those 2 or 3 days in each city and kind of relax a lot more between games. So I think players will tell you that they feel more relaxed than they usually do, even though the games have been shorter spaced out. Yeah, only 5 games at home. I mean, geez, I know. It seems like just when we get the fans back, it's not going to be many games. Of course, there will be playoff games. The Avalanche clinch a playoff spot tonight, I believe. I might be wrong on that, but I thought that they could have clinched tonight. I'm probably wrong on that. Scratch that. But if they're not, they're close.
They are close, yeah.
I think they'll be fine. I think the road, you know, they're good on the road. A lot of those games are going to be against, you know, Anaheim, the Kings. I don't expect to be there at the end. Some of those games are going to be, they're going to be playing against probably some AHL players, some of those teams, and probably be mostly just tune-up kind of games. And I don't think it'll be a big deal.
The Avs do remain tied with Florida for the best record, at least points-wise, in the NHL. While the Knights have one game in hand, the Avs are now up 4 points on them. This game got a little bit testy at the end, and that's a nice way of putting it. Giant sort of brawl there, sloppy, bunch of guys on the ice, the ref mashed into the pile. Is there a concern this spills over into the game a couple days from now?
I think it's always going to be a little bit contentious between these teams. The teams don't like each other all that much. The fans don't like each other all that much. Even some of the media don't like each other all that much. So, it'll probably spill over a little bit. But I think the Wild are going to want to win the game first before they get frustrated and do anything. I think the Avs, it's like, okay, this is getting serious now, like 13-0-2,
right.
A long time. You're starting to think, boy, you know, can they run the table? I mean, I don't think they'll win the last 20 in a row, but it doesn't feel like they can lose a hockey game right now, does it? It just feels like they're too talented for everybody else. That's probably a little fancy thinking, though. You know, don't forget they're only playing teams in their own division. It's a good. It feels good to be an Avalanche fan right now. I'm sure it's been a long time coming again. Where it's like you go into the game just expecting to win, and 75-80% of the time it's happening.
Yeah, pretty remarkable stuff. Make sure you follow Adrian on Twitter at adater, and of course at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. AD, this has been a crazy run. I know. I don't almost want to say anything in order to jinx it or something, but another big win tonight. Looking forward to catching you in a couple days. See if they can finish off the Wild in the 2-game set. Thanks for the time tonight.
Wednesday night. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much. Adrian Dater, our Avs Insider, brought to you by Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. It does feel like they just have more talent than everybody else they're playing. I would say, with the possible exception of Vegas. Vegas ends up being a really tough one. But the Avs, not that long ago, looked like they were a decent ways behind the Vegas Golden Knights. And as I told you right now, even though Vegas has played one fewer game, the Avs have a 4-point lead. This division now is theirs to control. And if they continue to play the kind of hockey they're playing, certainly they're not going to win out. But if they continue to play the kind of hockey they're playing, they could very well find themselves with a top seed. We know they can score. Boy, they score. They're 137 goals now, tops in the entire NHL. More importantly than just goals, it's the goal differential. The Avs at plus 50 lead the entire league. Get an idea of how big that is? The second best team in the league is the Tampa Bay Lightning at plus 37. 13 better than anyone else in the entire NHL. So the Avalanche absolutely rolling right now, 15 consecutive games with at least 1 point, including 2 games with Jonas Johansson in net. So really everything is clicking. Don't expect that to be the case when you're talking about Wednesday's game against the Wild, but we'll see if the Avs can keep it all rolling. Right now, things are going right. It is all about finding a way to remain healthy and continue to just pile up those points. Things have been going very well for the Avalanche at that point. And make sure you check out Adrian Dater's website, ColoradoHockeyNow.com, and follow him on Twitter, adater, for all the latest. We've been talking a little bit about the Sam Darnold trade today. At first blush, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, right? Okay, the Jets are picking a quarterback. They're getting rid of their old quarterback. Well, it's a bigger deal than you'd think because it has a tremendous impact on the Denver Broncos. I've been looking at it as a way the Broncos can solve their quarterback issues, or at least certainly better their room through the draft. Earlier today, Brandon Stokely had another idea. I'm not so fond of it. Let's hear from him next.